Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast, part of the Extra Points podcast network, powered by Omaha Audio. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Tuesday morning, spaghetti and meatballs fiddling with the knobs. We have babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess, and joining me as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss. Guys, for the first time in 77 days, the sun has come out in Southern California. I almost feel like we should put this on hold and run outside and just shake our head at the sky. I'm not sure how long this is going to last, Shaq.
It's raining out where I am.
About to
see,
say.
That's how far, how big LA County is. It's drizzling out my window right now, which is appropriate. The sky is crying. The sports gods are crying because all the fun has left the NCAA tournament, or just about, right?
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh,
no.
Come on.
Oh, no. Listen, we had fun. All right. We'll get to what fun is ahead, but we did have fun in Vegas at the Kimmel Comedy Club. Quick recap. We had a Race to 10 watch party. Thanks to everyone for coming out. I gave out meatballs close to $210 bills over the course of 16 games. We went 10-6 in our Race to 10. We picked one team to score 10 before the others, and it was terrific. It was 40 degenerates pounding on tables, chanting Race to 10, Race to 10. And almost always our team is down 9-8 with the ball. And really, this is all in the hopes to collect $10. These are animals, but gentle, caring animals. And I'm glad they all made it out, Check.
I loved that. I mean, to me, my immediate thought was listening to Avery Johnson punctuate the cherry on top of the 4 days of basketball. And I'm being overly cynical because my teams are out. So I am trying to impose that on all the sports world. But yes, it was admittedly very fun 4 days, but punctuated by the 3-point prayer thrown in that benefited nobody.
Benefited nobody.
Half the wagers. Half the gamblers out there. And that is what we always talk about, is the best thing about being in Vegas for the first weekend of the tournament. And you got it right at the end there. I loved it.
You're talking about the TCU miracle cover against Gonzaga. They were getting like 4.5 down 7. I had not seen it done this way before, Martin. There are bad beats and bed aches, but Gonzaga doesn't care defensively what happens as they're up 7 points and the ball is rolled to, it really could have been rolled. You know, when they roll it, as long as nobody touches it, the clock doesn't move, with 0.7 left. And it really could have gone to the opposite end of the, nobody was stopping it, except the TCU player grabbed it, gathered and shot in 0.7. There's still some debate as to whether you're allowed to do that, able to do that physically. But it happened and it went in. I mean, that was spectacular.
I mean, and I had a TCU +4.5 ticket.
Oh, man.
But I got up and walked away. I thought it was over.
No.
Because who fouls with 0.7 seconds left on the clock? Like, that's the other thing. You fouled the guy, like, and he was shooting free throws with 0.7 seconds left on the clock. So I was all the way. I had already walked into my kitchen. I was cursing the gods and myself because it's like, how could I have actually invested money that I went out and earned, had to work for, on these 21 and under kids? Like, I wouldn't have invested in myself at that age, but of course, I'll take this kid from TCU who I've seen play, or this team from TCU I've seen play, I don't know, 15 times, I guess, on the season.
You know what?
And sure enough.
You know what? You shouldn't be allowed to collect. You walked away. You didn't see it. You didn't have faith. You should not be allowed to collect on that ticket.
I do.
I'm sorry. Shaq, I hope you don't think I lost my buzzer beater bet with that. That does not count as a buzzer beater. Well, the game, it has to change. The outcome has to change, basically, on the shot.
Yeah, I feel like two people need to be taken to task and one praised. First of all, Avery Johnson. So that bucket goes in for TCU. Jamie Dixon, weirdly indifferent about it. No celebration. We covered everything. You know, he didn't care. But I assume you or half the gamblers you were surrounded by were rejoicing. Avery Johnson says, like, some people are going to like that, but I'm not touching it. I'm not touching that one. Like, all right, it's 2023, man. You can acknowledge what just happened.
I didn't like that.
That makes me crazy. Yeah. And in the heels of, like, where are we in the world right now? Because Drew Timmy is F-bombing. The world keeps on spinning, everybody. You're allowed to be a human being and acknowledge such things. So he gets praised. Avery gets dinged. And of course, at the top of the mountain, Cousin Sal stinks. I mean, there's that. What a bum. Betting against Joy. That's what you do.
Going to
a next level once again and cashing in on no buzzer beaters, AKA cashing in on the less fun result. Boom.
4 years in a row. Is that how you congratulate me, Sheck? 4 years in a row? What is not fun about that? Martin, you ever find money in a pocket of a jacket you haven't worn in like a year? That's what it does for me. It's just fun. Puts a smile on your face to win. And half the players on the floor are celebrating with you. Why does this upset you so much, Sheck?
I don't know why it makes him so mad, but I just know this, Sal. I'm converted. I've learned. I'm with you. As soon as Dave says, Sal, the scourge of America, no fun to be had, I'm going right with you. I should have did it here. I should have bet.
Thank you.
Betting on Russia. I should have, the next time I'm here, I'm done making the jokes, because you know what the jokes don't make? The jokes don't make any money.
Slippery slope.
That's right.
Slippery slope. You just said it. Bet Russia. Go ahead. We'll get to our best bets later. Bet Japan in the final in baseball against the USA.
Maybe.
Now, I rooted for Canada to beat the USA in the gold medal hockey game.
Why would you do that?
Because black and gold over red, white, and blue. And I had to root for Sidney Crosby in that one. I had a higher purpose, which leads me to why I'm extra miffed right now. Because I'm worried you're going to cash in on the Penguins not making the playoffs.
Well, I had that way down.
I'm happy we don't have to talk about it. We talked about it. Move on.
No, we're doing it. The Rangers, good job by you, Spaghetti, beat the Penguins twice. Now, I have the Penguins to not make the playoffs at 3-1 odds. Then the Pens turn around and lose to Calgary. And now there's new odds out here to make Ottawa. Yeah. Maybe I'm predicting it. Yes, Canadian. It was Ottawa. Yes. To make the playoffs, the no is +104. That's the best I've had in a while. What a bet. And Spaghetti, I'm giving you $50 if it wins, because I know you've been in my corner and your Rangers did their job. Do we buy out, Spaghetti? What do we do? Do we try to sell this on PropSwap, or do we continue on with this bet? This is a winner, I think.
I think it's going to be a winner. I want you to win, Sal, because I do feel bad about your goal. A lot of goal unders you had. I know my guy Chris Kreider went over. So I feel bad about that. And this is something that we predicted. And I've tried to tell Dave this. I'm -3, which he argues. I said the Pens were not in a position to push for the playoffs with the guys they kept. I think they either should have blown it up or they should have, just signed different players. But I don't think they're going to make it. The Panthers are surging at the right time. The Isles have always just kind of been there. And yeah, the Rangers really put their skate in their throat, so to speak, and kind of ended their season. They destroyed the franchise.
Creep off. I don't want to hear another word from him. I don't want to hear about
you brought it.
He feels bad for Sal. I feel bad you for brought Sal it up. And his best. Don't you feel bad for me? Don't you then? What about me?
Here's why we don't feel bad, Jack. Spaghetti and I tried to tell you. We sat you down. Listen, Chris Letang, $36 million, 6 years. It's a bad deal, right, Spaghetti? We told them, and you're like, oh no, the old gang is back together.
Okay, nobody wants to hear my analysis of the free agent signings. That's true. But I'm just telling you.
That's right.
That is not the issue. The issue is the surrounding members that they overpaid inexplicably. Ron Hextall, a double agent for the Philadelphia Flyers.
$36 million.
He stinks. No. And he has spoiled what could have been something nice. And they didn't have to win the cup for it to be nice. They just had to still stay in the mix and be relevant. Right. And they're not. And believe me, I'm walking the floors every night, angst filled. It's dark times for me. And Spaghetti's busy feeling bad for Sal instead. Unbelievable.
We're looking good, Spaghetti, because they have the Avs, the Stars, the Bruins, the Devils, and the Wild. All losses. You better win the rest, Sheck. This is going to be great, Spaghetti. I love it. Meanwhile, Meatballs Isles -215 to make the playoffs. So looking good all around. All right. Can I get back to college basketball? Anything else you don't want to talk about,
but that you'll scream about that we have to spend? Your show, Fred.
Well, I'm happy for you, Sal, because you don't have to pay anybody's mortgage.
That's exactly my next thing. Mortgage Madness. I set it up on extrapoints.com/arcade. $1,000 goes to the winning bracket. And as a bonus, if you were perfect through Sunday, I would pay your rent or mortgage for a full year. And I had people coming up to me like, hey, this is risky. You don't want that. It's like, oh, please, it's fine. Best score just through Friday, Martin, was 27 out of 32. All right, you throw the two big upsets out, and you're 29 for 32, right? If Arizona wins, and who was the other first round? Purdue, if they win. Best is still 29 to 32. I'm fine. Nobody wants their mortgage paid, Martin. I try to put it out there. Nobody wants to work. Nobody wants their mortgage paid. We can only do so much. I'm sorry.
I mean, look, I try my damnedest. I try my best, but I didn't think about just how astronomical the odds were until you start to see on Monday and Tuesday trickling out from all the different bracket challenges. Oh, we have no one perfect left. We have no one perfect left.
Right.
And I just thought, like, at least I had it got it out the way early. Like, at least I had West Virginia. So first game of the tournament.
Oh, that was the very first
right?
game.
Right. So imagine if you had TCU, or you know what I'm saying? You're sitting there 2-3 days in and all of a sudden, boom, right there in the gut. But, you know, So me and my buddy Andrew Catalano listens to every show. He texted me as it was closing. He's like, well, I guess we'll be paying the rent. So there we go.
Well, listen, you know, first of all, I had a drunk lunatic Harry running around the Kimmel Comedy Club because I think he hit his first six games. Like, you better look out. I'm 6-for-6. I was like, okay, now you got to go 42-0. I mean, what's 6-for-6, Shaq?
That would almost scare me when you're in a marathon like that, because you already know. I would rather go like 4-2 to start. He's all right, cool.
Right.
We're running, but I'm taking my punches, but I'm still on top.
Let's not pull back the curtain too far here. This is one of the great bits going annually now that Sal has landed on. Let's not reveal the fact that it is impossible that somebody. I was thinking about who is most likely to get it perfect, and I guess it would be an FDU alum, right? That you would maybe think, but it is impossible that you would go like, I'm taking my guys. I'm taking our guys. Like, you know, I'm going to go. But also, I'm going to go chalk, because that guy would go chalk everywhere else, right? Except that there is at least one other upset. So it is just plumb impossible. I don't know if you saw that social media post that I think was completely made up about the grain of sand. You have a better chance of identifying the same grain of sand on the planet Earth.
Oh, really?
Versus having a perfect bracket.
Maybe we should put that up as a contest.
I mean, I think it's made up, but it kind of does say, like, it's ridiculous. Well,
that's why I just try to keep it to the first two rounds. Right. And people are like, you're going to get burnt there, you know, but almost 700 people, they all went down. But this doesn't really mean anything at this point, but the top three right now in our bracket for the 1,000, Rye Daw, HOF Pants, and ER. These are very cryptic entries. I don't know what I can't imagine these are actual names, but they're the top three. Now, we also have something going on just amongst the staff. The first place winner, just in the staff, gets to decide what consequence the last place in the staff has to suffer. So right now, Babyface Sol Jolomon is in first amongst the staff. He's actually eighth overall, which is pretty good. And Harry is in last. That would be good. That would be good for first.
I
and
thought
last.
He was undefeated.
Babyface has to pick for Harry. Yeah, he went very defeated after after bragging about going 6-for-6. But Shaq, which staffer would you be most concerned with picking your consequence if you were got... If you took last place, I think you're safe. I'm pretty sure Martin's safe.
I don't know. I don't know how I could possibly be safe when it starts out with Arizona winning in the final against Kansas. But okay, people are
you're
even
in 370th place. No, 372nd place. I mean, out of 665. So you're right in the middle. So wait, how many Final Four teams do you have left? So your final is two, right? Destroyed.
Yeah, Indiana's out, and I'm trying to think of the bracket of who I have left then with all the...
So you have at least three out of four.
You had Arizona, Martin, they're out.
Right, Arizona, yeah. Right. And
Martin, you're in 340th with 538 points. No, I did it the wrong way. You're in 538th place with 340 points.
Oh, man,
who are your four?
I had Alabama. The one I lost is Duke. So that's where that was the one that killed me.
You only have one out? Oh, you're
no,
all right,
I'm talking
then.
About my final one four. First round, I was a disaster. The one mm-hmm. that survived is Alabama. That's the better way to look at it, Sal. Remember, I'm looking at it from, I'm in 500th place. Like, I didn't have a lot right.
Yes.
If you don't get any Final Four teams, that's when you're in trouble. That means Dave is in trouble.
That's right.
My first thought was, above anything else, was when Purdue, after Arizona lost, I thought, oh, Jesus, Sal is going to pick something horrible, and that's going to be terrible for me, and because I'm going to come in last. And then Purdue lost, and I thought, Megan Gailey's got to be worse off than I am. She has to have Purdue going all the way, so that probably spoils her.
Yes.
And I was thinking, to answer your earlier question, I wouldn't want Megan Gailey, you know, brassy, you know, smart aleck mm-hmm. comedian. That could be bad, but I don't want to overthink this. The worst person to do it would be Cousin Sal choosing your fate.
Thank you.
Sal, I mean,
thank you.
You're the only person, not just on the staff, but in the history of my life, who's ever tormented me as I was being physically ill from food poisoning. I mean, tormented. I mean, like, so
I didn't know. How much worse was I supposed to know you were physically ill? How am I supposed to know? You didn't give any kind of heads up, any 2-minute warning. We're supposed to know that you were ill.
I don't know. After the 11th vomit, you coming into the bathroom saying like, what are you doing, Velvel? What the hell's it going, Velvel? Poking me while I'm physically purging my guts into the pot. And you're, what are you doing, Velvel? What are you doing, Velvel? How are you?
Well, you know what? You would be vomiting further if you saw my bracket, because I'm in 520th place and not a risk at all. But Gunnels could come in last. Lemon Pepper Parlay, your co-host.
Did he have Martin. A Kansas national champion? Because he was very adamant about that.
He had Kansas. I think he's in second to last next to Harry in terms of where we all are and then the staff. But I think he lost 3 out of 4, and he had Kansas winning the whole thing. He had Kansas out, A&M out, Duke out. He has Alabama left, but he had Kansas beating Alabama, so he can still get a few more points. Anyway, that's sad. It's still early to call, but it's. I was wondering who you guys feared the most, and I think you gave the right answers. Well, let's quickly take a break, give Caesars some love, and we'll be right back. Your very first bet with Caesars Sportsbook, it's on Caesars. Just sign up with promo code OMAHAFULL, OMAHAFULL. Then place your first bet. If you win, great. You keep your winnings. But if your first bet loses, you'll receive your stake back as a bonus bet.
If you have a gambling problem, in Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed to Horseshoe, Bossier, City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, which is 1-800-426-2537. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, so just a few more college things. So
can
Purdue
we make
becomes
you,
the second.
But if somebody chooses for you, if you came in last, could one of the things be Sal has to get rip-roaring drunk? Ooh, somebody who never drinks.
I guess.
Could that be a punishment?
Whoever's in charge. I think so. It's not like I have a sponsor or anything. I don't know. You know, it's not gonna put me on a bad course for the rest of my life. Sure.
I hope I win then, because I'm gonna get you stinking drunk, and then and then when you throw up, I'm gonna poke you the whole time. How you doing, Velville? How you doing, Vel?
Well, if they let Pitt back in the tournament, you may have a shot there, but they didn't. All your teams lost, Jack. Pitt, Indiana, you love Penn State, right? You're a big Penn State fan.
Big Nittany Lion guy.
I don't know who you're. So anyway, Purdue was the second one seed to lose to a 16 in tournament history. I don't know. They have a 7'4" center, player of the year, Zach Edey. I know everybody else is. I don't think he touched the ball for the last 9 minutes, Martin.
No,
in that
Sal,
game.
Legitimately one shot attempt in the last 11.
Is that what it was?
Yep.
I don't understand that. I really don't. I'm not sure what the game planning comes in for stuff like that. I don't want to get on Coach Painter because Harry is all over him. So I have to take the other side. But it is disgusting. I know, Sheck, what you're saying. So the sexy teams are out, Kansas and Arizona, and then Purdue is out, and you got Marquette. You got some twos out. I still think the cream is going to rise. Whatever cream is left is going to rise to the top, and because it usually does. But I know you hate
okay, this. But it's not whole milk anymore. It's now 2% or something between 99% and 2%. It's that you don't have the cream left anymore. Only some of that cream remains. But yeah, I thought,
well, if Alabama, the number one ranked number one, wins the whole thing, what are you going to say?
I get it. I mean,
Houston's good.
Yeah. I'm a pedigree snob. Forgive me. It's my most curmudgeonly annual opinion. I think it's fun, but I do wish that the 16 teams were the best 16 teams. I don't know, by hook or by crook, if you want to have one cute team in the mix. I just wish the heavyweights were there because it would be the more satisfying
Dave, how do you know who the best 16 teams of college basketball are?
I guess that's fair.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like everyone's from different regions, and yeah, you can't really tell. That's A, number one. B, number two, you should have a very big problem with the NHL playoffs if this is what your curmudgeonly take is.
No,
on
you're
NCAA.
Right about that, but
Where typically the one or two seed gets picked off in the first round.
God willing, this year. Now, listen, I hope nothing but pain. What am I rooting for going forward this springtime in the tournament and otherwise? Pain for everybody else, because that's what I have to deal with these days. Now, I do think the thing that was striking to me watching that Purdue game was I've always thought, how did Wilt Chamberlain at Kansas lose to anybody? How did that team ever lose a game? How did they not run through the NBA every year? And now Purdue has provided us with what that looks like. I mean, insane. How is it just straight up? How is it possible that you could have that guy on your team against that team you're playing?
How is it possible that you just compare Zach Edey to Wilt Chamberlain?
I'm just saying, I mean, listen, that ain't that crazy when you think about. I mean, Edey is you know, he's a glandular case
versus
an athlete.
They have two things in common. They're both over 7 feet tall, and they both play basketball, and that is where it stops. Zach Edey will never play professional basketball in the National Basketball Association. I'll tell you that right now. But no, the way they do it is
FDU, look, I think they got swept by Sacred Heart. They didn't even belong in that. They didn't win their tournament, right? They just had to advance them because who won? Merrimack or something won, and they're new to the conference, and there was some rule where you couldn't win. I don't know, but go ahead, Martin. What were you gonna say?
So you're looking at these schools like Fairleigh Dickinson and with a bunch of small guards or whatever that can go and go basically play versus Purdue or versus Kentucky or versus these other bigger name schools that you see bounced early on, and I feel like either the tournament has to figure out how to reseed some of these teams, because like Fairleigh Dickinson, yeah, they probably should have been a 16, but like some of these like quote unquote upsets, like I haven't really felt like they're like evenly matched teams or the better.
Yeah. You watch them play for 5 minutes. You're like, oh, this is going to be a game.
Exactly.
Why is this a 23 point
favorite?
It makes
me feel like the scouting, not scouting, but the people who the selection committee didn't necessarily watch. Did they watch? Because
I know, but why can't we win money on that? Why can't we figure out how to win money if that's what's going on here?
Recently, I felt like if Sheck was actually watching all the college conference tournaments that he said he was watching, he should have been all over this, because you should have been.
I wasn't watching Fairleigh Dickinson. I told you that. I'm not watching.
It was the best weekend in sports. You said. I'm sorry. I thought you wouldn't miss a dribble.
I'm also a pedigree snob, so I watch the Power Five, and that's the extent of it.
Yeah, well, there is, if you like diversity, I think 11 of the remaining 16, well, the 16 teams are represented by 11 conferences. I don't know that we'll ever get to, can you get to more than that? I don't, probably not. Maybe 12 in the future is the goal.
It's funny that college basketball has reached this weird point where the best players are gone by 19. So it dings the sport. And at the same time, there is saturation in college basketball. It's funny, like you look at Gino Auriemma's UConn team was sort of this outlier rabbit in the same way that the Celtics of the 60s were. It's not to diminish them or John Wooden's UCLA Bruins, but there's something where certain teams get ahead of the rest of the field in the era, and then they run it through. And now we've reached the conclusion of that and the complete other end of the spectrum where like a 2 seed versus a 15 doesn't feel very different when you're watching it. Remember when you were watching 25, 30 years ago? Remember when Princeton almost beat Alonzo Mourning in Georgetown? You remember that game? It felt like these guys are going to win it. A bunch of pale guys who were like average height 6'1". Now everybody is
No, they beat UCLA. Yeah, they beat. But, I mean, there have been upsets, but not the the ones and twos.
The key to what you just said was remember they were about to beat Alonzo Mourning, like the best. If you're like the top players, the top, you know, top 1% half percent, you're not playing in this tournament anymore because you're not playing college basketball anymore. Like, you know, the best player in the country right now is Scoot Henderson. He's not in this tournament. Brandon Miller's, you know, he would be right up there, but nobody really wants to talk about him. But the biggest buzz of the next eligible draft class is Victor Wembanyama. He don't even live in his country, right? It's pretty much a prerequisite. Like, is why we watch college football is A, for the jersey, but then also you'd be like, because damn, Caleb Williams is going to mess dudes up on Sunday when you watch him play against Utah in the Pac-12 championship. There's not a lot of that in the tournament right now, and that's why college basketball is down. Like, if Zion and Ja Morant were here, we would be locked in.
Oh, yeah, but I'm glad you brought this up. We root for the jersey because it dovetails nicely into something Sheck and Jeff Schwartz, our buddy, talked about on -3 yesterday, and it's the Blue Bloods, Sheck, basically saying the Blue Bloods, we have to reevaluate who are the Blue Bloods. And by the way, I never knew what a Blue Blood team was, apparently. I thought I knew what it was. I thought mostly it was a team that came from money, right? A team that came from a school where, you know, the tuition was like $63,000 a year, but it's mostly... Okay, hold on. It's a membership in a noble or socially. Yes, yeah, but I thought it translated to basketball, but it's really just, I'm trying to think, a blue blood school. Now I lost the definition. Now I just have the regular blue blood definition. Blue blood school program is, there's historically 6 of them, right, Sheck?
Yeah.
Kentucky, Carolina, Indiana, Duke, UCLA, and Kansas. Am I missing some?
I don't think so. I think he just covered it there. And it's a funny new wrinkle. So Jeff Schwartz proposed that just because we of a certain age consider UCLA basketball, I think the irony is, I think he misses the mark by including UCLA in that group. He said UCLA isn't, no 20-year-old kid perceives UCLA. I don't know. Maybe they've been in the Final Four enough this millennium that they don't count. But like, Texas football does to me. They had the one blip with Mack Brown. What have they done to be considered a football blue blood at this point when they're almost never relevant? Now, well-heeled programs like Texas A&M, that's a different thing. They're the most well-funded and they never come anywhere close, but they were never a on-the-field blue blood within the span of our lifetime, at least. So anyway, Schwartz has, you know, I think righteously thrown out in the shadow of Mount Pius, Lake Blue Blood. And now it's a membership lake, just like the Malibu beaches. You're not allowed out there. If you don't maintain membership, it's going to get pulled away by Jeff Schwartz and Dave Damashek, lifeguards.
I don't.
Yes, go ahead, Mark.
I felt that Blue Bloods in college basketball was kind of like the original 6. This is the 13 colonies. Like, these are this is the backbone of our sport here. So, like, when a school like, you know, Kentucky wants to come in and say, we're a blue blood, too, it's like, no. You're doing right. You're doing great for right now. You're doing what you're doing right here, right now. And that's amazing. But you're not one of the foundational pieces of what has been built here.
Interesting.
So I think that's where I go with it. But in speaking of Kentucky, John Calipari needs to send Matt Painter a thank you note because, you know, he took a lot of smoke for him.
Yeah, for sure. Well, all right, but back to the Blue Blood. So I think it's a generational track record for winning, basically. Martin, you want to change it to, as the original six in hockey are known, like, they will always be the original six, and you can't change that. Shaq, you're saying that you and Jeff Schwartz are going to pull, and you could get your membership revoked.
That's right.
There are about six or eight teams. I think let them play it out. I know it's more fun if you guys decide who wins, but this is my solution. UCLA, Gonzaga. Now, people laugh at Gonzaga. My cousin Jimmy says it's not even a real school. Prove to me it's a real school. But this is now 20 years that, you know, every other year they make the Sweet 16. I think they maybe should be in over UCLA.
I agree.
This is basically a pick'em game. Let it play out on the court this Friday.
Tournament. Baseball can do this every 4 years. I love the Blue Blood Tournament and membership.
Yes.
Victory is the only thing that guarantees ongoing membership. Gonzaga is at the top of the list. If not them, then it is Tom Izzo and Michigan State. 2.0 Blue Blood, or maybe we need a new 21st century kind of color. Like blue, we're leaving that in the 20th century. It's teal now, or I don't know what a jazzy new color is. But either way, yes, I'm glad we park our cars in the same garage. And once we solve college sports, I hate to say it, next up might be your Dallas Cowboys, Sal.
I don't know why you keep saying
because
that.
I haven't been in a Super Bowl in how many years?
Years? It's more than that. It's, you know, they have three of the top six selling jerseys. Now, they have, you know, the number one rated playoff game of all time or regular season. It's just more to
now
it.
Now you're going
it's
with America's money team. Related Can't stuff. I'm it. Talking about on-field product.
We're pretty damn good. Did you see that last play when Zeke was the center? I don't know. I don't know what more you want to ask for. Out of this team.
I'll say the thing
I might have stumbled into something negative here, Martin. Sheck, I think, is right here.
The lasting play that stuck for me for the Cowboys season, I know the one with Zeke was the most striking because we've never seen anything like that before, but it was really when Fred Warner was lined up in the other A gap and was able to carry T. Y. Hilton, all the way up the seam. And I'm like, dog, we're blaming Dak for this? I don't think Fred Warner will be able to keep up with him, Sal. And getting Stephon Gilmore for the fifth round pick. How about the Cowboys having a very good week in free agency?
I thought we had a good March. Peter King only has them like at 14, 15. I think he ranked the 32 teams and how they did in just in March. And I like that Cook signing. I like that they got to keep Van Der Esch. They got Wilson, you know, the tackle machine they kept. Obviously, like you said, Gilmore. Brandon Cooks, now they restructured. Yeah, you could go blind from the math, but this seems like basically a one-year deal. And actually, they get dinged hard if he gets a second year. But stretch the field, why not? I mean, who's your guy? We had James Washington, Sheck. I don't think he ever saw the field.
Yeah, he got hurt.
We signed him this time last year.
That never felt like he was going to be a difference maker down there. But I think Dalton Schultz is, I don't mean to move on from the good news, and Brandon Cooks obviously has to play for a different team in 2024 than 2023. That's the only way he'll do things is to move to a new pro football team. But I think the Schultz thing is interesting. I assume they'll try to address that early on because there are some
He left to the Texans. I mean, that was a typical Texan signing, I think. Dalton Schultz and Devin Singletary.
I find what the Texans are doing kind of interesting, assuming they get the QB right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Schultz is, I mean, I don't think they're winning the division or anything, but I think, you know, I think they're doing things the right way.
They had Patrick Mahomes. That's for sure.
But yeah, I think that's fun. By the way, just to wrap it up, the pro level teams that I'm looking at right now for removal of membership, break the ice. I'm sorry, Philadelphia Flyers. You ain't done nothing in 45 years. You might be on your way out of Lake Blue Blood as well. Dallas Cowboys, like I say, you know what? New York Islanders too.
Why? They beat the Penguins every year.
I don't care what they do. They haven't sniffed the Stanley Cup since the mid 80s.
That's not true. Come on. I was in college when we made a nice run. Now, don't say that, Sheck. You know, you can't just go after Mikey Meatballs teams, the Cowboys, the Islanders. It's not fair. Eventually, he's going to blow his fuse, and that's going to be that. Yeah, I'm not worried as Cowboys. We have Jake Ferguson, Peyton Hendershot. I think we can make a run there. I really do like the skill position and what they're doing. I feel Dak should stop crying and celebrate what we've done.
I do think, though,
with this roster.
Not to steer it too hard into the quarterback league stuff, but in the NFC, I've seen a fair amount of buzz now of this thing of like, who is the best quarterback or who are the top two or three quarterbacks in the NFC? I'm seeing a lot of Dak disrespect, or I mean, maybe it's deserved disrespect, but where do you see him in the hierarchy behind Jalen Hurts? Certainly. Right.
I think they're, I don't know. It's about, yeah. Okay. You want to put him behind there. I really think last year, if you look at his interception numbers, they were never as bad as last year in full season. So I want to give him a little bit of a pass. I know nobody else does, but, you know, going into the playoffs to say like he was the fifth best quarterback in the NFC, I was like, all right, that's a little nuts. And he had a big game against the Bucks, but I mean, fine. You want to put Hurts ahead of him? That's
good. I'm saying like people like going Jared into Goff. Last
postseason, I was telling you, Sal, upstairs yeah. at that same aforementioned Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club, why is nobody right. talking about the Cowboys? I got the second or third best quarterback on the side of the bracket.
Yeah. We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. Now, the people label this guy the best, Lamar Jackson, certainly was the best a few years ago when he won MVP. But now nobody's opening their purse strings. You know, there's a collusion amongst the owners. Is it the fact that he couldn't get through the last two seasons? Is it a combination of both? I don't know what it is. But the Patriots and Vikings have now emerged as suitors, Martin. I want to check odds on both teams. I don't think they're counting on either one of them necessarily to sign him anytime soon. But now we're hearing that he is now putting out feelers. He's sending someone on his behalf to other teams to try to push his resume, an unimproved NFL entity, I guess. I guess the NFL has to approve agents who can go out yeah. and try to and put in a good word for you. This guy's unapproved. He's acting as an agent. But Martin, does he stay or does he go?
He's gone. I don't see it happening. Really? And I feel like the Ravens, like I feel like everybody's just waiting. And I know that everybody screams collusion and this and that. I would just have to wait. I have to wait until, like, you have to actually let them collude before it actually happens. I know a whole bunch of people came out initially and said they didn't want him, but they're going to try to get him at the price that he can. You're telling me that, like, this screams to me. Like, can't you just close your eyes and see sometime around August 1st, everybody talking about how genius Bill Belichick is for pulling this off and how he was able to maneuver this. And like, and you know, he got Lamar on a deal that somehow team friendly and Lamar got what he wanted. And all like, I can see the talking heads trying to figure out how to twist themselves out of that pretzel 1,000%. Minnesota will be interesting because the amount of people who have texted me talking about they think the Lions are winning the division. I got 9 gamblers texting me like, hey, bud, what's the line on the Lions to win the NFC North? And this is all setting up for the Lions to get the wild card and somehow be disappointed after you know, all these years of missing the playoffs. But ultimately, Lamar Jackson will not be a Baltimore Raven to start next year.
Well, Shaq, that's interesting. All right, let's take the Patriots, first of all. The only reason I don't see it, and first of all, if you're like, oh, every team should sign it. Well, Shaq, your Steelers should sign him too. If you really feel that way. How is it? Any team who's on their rookie quarterback deal should sign this guy. If he's as great as, and if this is such a no-brainer for teams, Steelers, not just the Panthers, not just the Falcons, not just all those teams you named, everybody who's on a rookie contract deal. But the Patriots just seems weird because you never see a giant number attached to a player sign it. You just under the Belichick era. In fact, you see Tom Brady restructuring every year. Now they signed Juju and they signed Gesicki, right? The tight end from the Dolphins.
They've done some. Yeah. They're not wired to do it. I guess, you know what? They've invested so much up front offense in terms of draft picks. And then Hunter Henry is a nice blocking tight end as well as pass catching. I could see some value in doing that. The problem is with the Ravens, that they're trying to thread a needle of they don't want to give the multiple years and all that guaranteed bank to Lamar. But right now in, you know, late March, what are they going to do in 2023? Are they just basically, if Lamar walks, you're scuttling your season, right? I mean, what are they going to get? Who are they going to get? Anthony Richardson? How exactly is that?
The Ravens?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The idea that, well, they're, I agree that the Ravens, they want to have their cake and some pie. They want to have Lamar Jackson back for one more year, maybe two, but they don't want to be into him for $150 million guaranteed dollars long term. So, but you know, they're one of those free guys
way, that's
that
fair.
Doesn't just completely.
Why do we have to hate the Ravens for saying that? I think that's fair. I don't want to give him a Deshaun Watson type deal.
I agree, which is why I said forever they have the whole. He should just hold out last year. That's when he had the leverage. He doesn't have much leverage at this point, except to say, okay, good luck this year. I don't know what you think you guys are going to do.
Yeah,
this
but year, check. Cam Newton. And I know you predicted it, check, but there was something gigantic that happened in between your prediction and right now is that Deshaun Watson signing. I mean, if not for that Deshaun Watson signing, do the Ravens.
No, it was Lamar Jackson a Raven. It was informed by the Deshaun Watson signing. I said, this is what he is going to now expect, which he immediately said is what he was going to want to do. There was that. But the owners, you heard a few of them at least rise up and say like that, including Bisciotti, I think, said like that contract is going to be a problem for pro football going forward.
I don't even think it goes back. I know it's all about the guarantee and everybody sticks it on Deshaun. But how many quarterbacks got paid in between Lamar Jackson winning unanimous MVP and right now? Because the list is, of course, like Jared Goff, Wentz, Kyler Murray, like Derek Carr twice by now. Like
Cousins, like, was Cousins before that or was it Cousins? Right.
And then did you say that point? Yeah. It's not like guaranteed money is this. Everybody talks about Deshaun Watson. He's not the first. Kirk Cousins had fully guaranteed contract. So it's not like it's like it can never happen ever. It's happened before. It's just the audacity of the fact that you gave it to this man who's in the headlines for everything but sport.
Well, so but like, it's also $238 million is different than the other guaranteed money. But the other thing is you just said it. Jared Goff then provided an example of like just because you drafted him in the first round and things are going well early on doesn't mean you have to overreach early on in his rookie deal and give him that level of dollars.
Right. And they if Jared Goff had ever come close to winning you any type of MVP, even being the best quarterback in his comp. What?
He did. When they went to the Super Bowl, he was in the MVP conversation.
The whole conversation with Sean McVay was telling him what to do for the first 15 seconds. And that's why they
lost because
Belichick was changing the defense. He was not considered for an MVP for real. And that, like, that's ridiculous. But yeah,
When did Watson officially sign that deal? Because Sheck, like a year ago,
it was a little over a year ago.
I don't think so. Was
I think it was in, I think it was it like was 50, in February. I think it was like 53, 54 weeks ago that he made that.
Really?
Deal. Yeah, I think so.
I thought it was later on. I thought it was like closer to the summer.
If the Ravens won't do it, I really do feel at this point somebody else will. The talent is too undeniable. Right. I really believe that.
I guess you're right.
The talent's too undeniable. If the Ravens aren't going to make this deal, somebody else will by the time they realize just rolling around and they see that either you're in the AFC and you see that, man, the seven teams above me all got a quarterback and I don't got a shot, or you're in the NFC and you see, damn, maybe the Eagles got a quarterback. It's wide open. I got a shot. And then you go get a guy to go give you a shot. Like, if you're not in a Lamar Jackson right now, you're just not interested in trying to win. Like,
if you're the Falcons or the Panthers, now you're hearing those teams.
Or the Steelers.
I mean, stop with that. Unless you don't like your QB on his rookie deal. No.
You must love him because if this is such a no-brainer for everybody, you have to be 100% sure that your guy's.
Well, I mean, a big part of why I'm saying that the Steelers do perceive, whether you agree or not, they do perceive themselves to have landed their guy for the next 4 years going forward here, and they're building up around him. I don't think the Falcons have that guy. The Colts are adrift with their new QB every year kind of formula. Mm-hmm. So if they're not enamored with who they're going to get with the third best QB or maybe even the fourth by the time the draft starts, then Lamar Jackson makes sense there. I mean, the one I keep saying that is like the drawn butter of pro football is Kyle Shanahan. Dip any QB into it and it's going to turn out delicious. But now think if you have some actual high-end shelled fish like lobster or crab, Lamar Jackson in San Francisco, now you're really cooking with gas. So if you put Lamar Jackson in that offense, who's getting in the way of that in the NFC?
Now, you know what? I heard that last week, the drawn butter thing. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. I do like that. And then I looked like Kyle Shanahan's 52 and 46 in the regular season.
I know, but he's doing it with Brock Purdy and Jimmy G and those guys.
That's not butter, though. That's not butter. Butter's not 52 and 46.
Playing the Super Bowl with Jimmy G. That's pretty delicious.
Cream cheese is 52 and 46. Butter is 80 and 15. That's what it is. Babyface, what were you saying about this contract? What did he turn down?
What was it? 5 years, $250 million, $133 guaranteed. And I mean, it's right.
That was last year? You turned that down?
Yeah, February of 2023. So, but I don't know. Oh. It might be more red.
February 23rd. Yeah. Oh, last month. Yeah.
Or, yeah, 22. But it might be more Red Lobster. Lobster. I don't know if this is high-end lobster. Dave has to, I guess.
I got you. Yeah.
Lobster.
Yeah, there are grades of lobster.
Say one more thing about the Jared Goff.
Oh, just one more.
In the year to year league of the NFL, I love when people say, like, you know, Adam Thielen says, I went to the Carolina Panthers because I really feel like we have a shot at the Super Bowl. And people are like, ha, 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 ha. It's like, remember the Bengals a couple of years? I mean, like, how many examples do we need every year that teams can come out of nowhere and do something? So
apparently, we need more because you don't think Patrick Mahomes could do it on a bad team.
I think,
but, you know,
well, year to year, things get done. But listen. The Jared Goff thing proves the year to year nature of things. That contract seemed so heavy and ridiculous. Like, boy, sure. The Rams are screwed for the long term now. Then they found somebody to trade him off to. You can move on. Get Lamar Jackson, Atlanta Falcons, Carolina Panthers, and thrive in a soft division for the next couple of years. Then pick your heads up and figure out where to go from there if it ain't working out.
All right. There you go. NBA now. Let's talk. You know, there's a lot of big games coming up, but we're almost done now. I think, Martin, April 9th is the end of NBA. That'll be like just a few days after they cut down the nets in the NCAA tournament. So we're close. We're close to baseball, too. We're 9 days away from first pitch where it actually means something. But Joel Embiid now favored to win MVP over Jokic. Jokic was like minus 450 last time we talked about this a few weeks ago. So Embiid minus 250, Jokic plus 175, Giannis plus 475. Boy, Perk has a lot of pull, huh? Is that what we're supposed to take from this? I don't know.
The
odds mysteriously moved when he accused the voters of being racist.
Well, just like the rain is washing Los Angeles out, I'm just glad this MVP debate is being washed out as well, because the thing that is mind-boggling, and I'm not, you know, implicit bias exists everywhere, but you know what I'm saying? And just talking to, you know, the two white people I talk to the most, whenever somebody says something is racist, if you start yelling back, this is going to be like, see, he doesn't get it. You got to be like, what do you mean? Tyler, talk to me about it. I don't understand. Then they'll be like, he gets it.
What should we do? What are we supposed to do?
Yell back. You can't be like, that's not racist at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
Shaq, you can't yell. Shaq, no more yelling. You hear that?
It's the only gear I got. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't know. Listen, Denver slipped a little bit and Embiid went crazy. Now, Philly's still in third place or tied for third. They lost a double overtime to Chicago, but this is as close as it's been this late in the season, I think, in a while.
It's in the last 3 years, it feels like this is the closest been. And I'm just glad that, like, it feels like at least we're taking win-loss record into account here, because Jokic was at top of the leaderboard and then his team started to slip. And commensurately so, his MVP odds started to slip. Not because, you know, he's keeping this scrappy one seed above, you know, this, like we were hearing about how he was the sixth seed and this is why he should be the MVP, because look at who's around him. Well, you know, here we are. Look who's the same people been around, Joel Embiid and Giannis, and this whole season. And I just am glad to see that we're back to normal here.
It's so tough. It is tough because Jokic, I mean, how much can you hate a number one seed, a guy who plays on a number one seed who averages a triple double as a center? How much can you hate that? Okay. His defense lacks, right? But Embiid doesn't have the assist that Jokic, not even close, right? So I don't know where you put it. It's just, Shaq, there's too many good players in the NBA to do this every year.
Yeah, and then it goes to always value versus best. If you're doing who's better at basketball, then, you know, obviously Giannis should win it. But it's not, it gets murky when you try to evaluate that. I mean, I don't know. Drew Holiday is pretty dang good, but
he is not. That's racist to say that. I'm doing this wrong. I don't think I'm doing this wrong.
You don't get it, Sal. He just doesn't get it, guys. He just doesn't get it.
You have to carefully consider your words here, Sal. You can't be yelling all the time in response to everything, please.
Okay, sorry about
Mind your man.
Well, I will say this could come to, you know, next Monday, Embiid plays against the Nuggets, and then the following Sunday against the Bucks, which I think is a primetime game, and that could clinch it. So I think a week from Sunday, keep your eye on.
I mean, again, as we always talk about, Michael Jordan didn't win the MVP every year. Was he the best player every year? Obviously, he was. So I guess it has to do with value, and that's what you're doing.
That's what we said.
So, but that's the rub. Imagine if, when Michael Jordan was playing, somebody else won three straight MVP.
It's why
somebody would be going crazy. Like, how could the guy? Somebody else went three straight when Michael Jordan is in the league. That's kind of the same. Yeah. Like that's the argument, and that's why the big pushback was on Jokic this year is because it's like, bro. You're not telling me that this guy was the best player in the league for 3 years straight. You're just not.
Well, I mean, the thing's a joke anyway, because what did we say? He won once in 9 years. The best player of the last 20 years, LeBron James, won once over 9 years.
What is the explanation, though, ultimately? Because everybody ultimately lands at the same place. If you're talking about value combined with best on some level, then wait through the playoffs in every sport. That would satisfy everybody. So why don't they do it that way? What is the explanation for that? Is it like a PR thing that it would take away from who wins the title or you're doubling down on they just won the MVP. They just won the NBA title, but now you're going to make them MVP on top of it. I don't get exactly.
Well, what's weird about it is they don't give the award out until the NBA finals, right? Or after that.
Yeah.
Martin, I think all these awards are during the NBA finals. So it's like, that's part of the problem. That screws the league even more. It's like, hey, this guy just went 3 for 20 and his team was swept and you're giving him MVP. It's like, all right, just give the award out in 2 weeks and then you won't have that headache. Speaking of headaches, this jersey swap thing going on. So I have a lot of money on Dallas to make the playoffs. And so I, of course, want them in that 1-6 area there so they don't get jumbled up in the 7, 8, 9, 10 play-in thing. They lost the 6. They had a big lead against Memphis yesterday and then scored 12 points in the fourth quarter. And that's not good because if you multiply 12 by 4, that's 48. And so that would be bad. It's not good. So the Grizzlies beat the Mavs 112-108.
Basketball under.
You're right. You're right. I know. I can't believe I wasn't on that. So that sucked for me. And then you have to watch the jersey swap between Dylan Brooks and Kyrie Irving. Kyrie, your team just scored 12 points in the fourth quarter and you blew it. You're now the 7th seed. But anyway, the funny part is Brooks took Kyrie's jersey. Kyrie couldn't even pretend to hold on to Brooks's jersey for 10 seconds before they parted ways. And then they caught up with Kyrie afterwards. He's like, oh man, I didn't mean to disrespect him. I'll probably take his jersey next time. Freaking jersey swaps. Come on, Shaq. Enough already.
It's Martin. The worst. Cut this crap out already. If you want to do it. That you do that on your personal time. Don't do that before our eyes when we want to believe that you hate each other. Please cut this crap out.
Throw a tarp over the players. I like that idea, Shaq. After the game, throw a tarp over the players and they could pray and they could dance or they could do whatever. They could set a fire.
Go in your blue medical tent. Do whatever you want undercover. Yes. Just don't do it in front of us. Shaq.
And I will say it's tough in football when you see guys trying to get those things off. You're like, you got pads on. It's just not great. Right. But this right here is going to be, and we have Kyrie has not given us much this basketball season off the court. Like generally in between the lines, you know, when the 48 minutes of the game are going, he'll give you everything he's got. But outside of it, you know, it's a roller coaster. And we have now another thing to blame him for, because I know everybody's talking about this, about how Dylan Brooks, you know, is this and that.
I don't blame him for this.
This right here. This is his origin story. This is his villain origin story. Like what we saw before was cute and all, but like, he just pushed a cameraman down and he's turning it into Stone Cold Steve Austin and wearing these stupid little Chanel looking sunglasses in his post game. And it's just not great. But now he's got actual animus. Like every single, when have you ever seen somebody been rejected in the jersey swap. I understand what Dave's saying. He's like, I don't want to see that at all. What? You guys should hate each other. All right, but they don't, and we don't. So going forward, now at this point, the standard acceptance is to swap the jersey, whether you want it or not. I imagine,
why do you have to
was,
do it? Why? What if a bench player, what if Jack Haley from came up to you and it's like, hey, LeBron, I need that jersey. I need it. And I'm probably going to sell it. Like, or you know, just some, I don't get it. What is Kyrie supposed to do with this jersey? I mean, he's showing his grandkids years from now.
I love that conversation. I love that there is a hierarchy about that. If you ask guys about it, like, what determines whether you frame the jersey? I mean, it's pretty obvious, same as we would. It's like, I don't know, like, he was like an all right player, but I got to get this guy who was an all pro hung up. I got to replace the one. Like, people will have that conversation with you. It's funny and it's embarrassing. Just cut the whole crap out already. That's the point.
But this, you're bouncing your granddaughter on regular your season games. You're only seeing these people, unless they're in your division, you may be seeing them once a year at most. You're going to play every team in the NBA at least twice. The Nets and the the Nets and the Mavs will see each other again. And not only that, Kyrie and Dylan Brooks will see each other again, because God knows what team Kyrie will be on, and Dylan Brooks will probably be out of Memphis at the end of this year either. It's like the idea that Kyrie just was like, no, I'm good on taking your jersey. Like, you probably got Colin Sexton's jersey just sitting somewhere on the ground. Like, it's probably of dirty jerseys. He would have thrown the Brooks one right in there, but no, it was like a deeper message. And because of this, Dylan Brooks is going to go from insufferable to completely insufferable.
What's this, Grandpa? Oh, Dylan. It's Dylan Brooks. Brooks. It says Brooks. I think his name was Dylan. He averaged like 14-3 in the early 2020s.
Really,
anyway,
what it's going to be? What's this, Grandpa? Yeah. Oh, you see that guy sitting next to Kenny Smith, Dylan Brooks?
Right.
Because that's what he's setting up for now at this point.
His new career. Sure. Well, I'll tell you what. I think we're going to see a fight on the court someday because of this, because of a denial on a jersey swap. I think we're close.
Can you schedule Extra Points special summer feature? Kyrie Irving drives Aaron Rodgers to New York City to start his new life. He tells Kyrie hips him to everything he needs to know about the five boroughs and everything. Like,
well, that's smart.
The pitfalls to look out for and the ugly media and everything else. That powwow of minds would be something to behold, wouldn't it? I'd like that.
That would be good. And you're referring to him signing with the Jets, which I don't know when it's going to happen. I think Peter King put the over under April 7th. So we really could have like 3 more weeks of this.
Let it go on and on forever. Let it just keep going.
Well,
how funny.
As long as we don't have to talk about it.
Yeah, you know what, Sal? Maybe there's not enough NFL news to fill every single day.
God forbid. Shame on you. Bite your tongue, Martin. All right, listen. There's not an NFL pick we don't have for you on Tuesday, but let's take a quick break and we'll be back with our plays of the day.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, I'm going to the NBA hardwood for my play of the day. The Hawks minus 12, now minus 14 on Caesars over the Pistons. Wow, what a giant number. But the Pistons have lost their last three by an average of 17. 12, 19, and 20, that's their last three. They know what they have to do, Shaq. They need to keep losing. They need to hold on to one of those bottom three positions to maximize their ping pong ball efforts. Bogdanovich and Cunningham being out helps disguise the fact that they're not really trying. Atlanta, on the other hand, they blew a 24-point lead to the Spurs on Sunday. They're still battling the Raptors and Bulls for that 8th seed. You got to hold on to that 8th seed. That gives you 2 bites of the apple during the play-in tournament, and they'll win convincingly tonight, 126-104. Give me the Hawks. Sheck, what you got?
Well, like I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm going with the U.S. of A. against Japan. Now, if aesthetics were a factor in this one, I would have to take Japan because they have the best uniforms going in this World Baseball Classic. But like you say, the uniforms do not count here. Ergo, red, white, and blue. Yu Darvish, not enough to match up with that lineup of sluggers that the USA has been throwing out there. I'm taking the US of A comfortably laying the run and a half, and it's juiced up to plus 110. Get on it, Patriots.
Yu Darvish, that's a... Is he starting?
Yeah.
They said? Oh, they did. Okay. Because they asked Ohtani and he wasn't sure. Minus 1.5 plus 110 for USA. Okay. I want to talk about that in a minute. Martin, let's get your pick.
I'm taking the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is in my Lakers missed the play-in. That's my Lakers missed the play-in push. That's where I'm going. I'm taking the Oklahoma City Thunder. I was taking the points. I got it a plus 7. It looks like it might have moved to 6.5 by now. But I'm taking the points there. The Clippers do not deserve to lay 7 points to anybody. The Russell Westbrook version of the Clippers don't deserve to lay 7 points to anybody in the league right now. And Oklahoma City is playing good ball.
I do like that, and we need it. We really need it. Boy, that buzzer beater for Dallas. That was so great for me the other night. Dallas to make the playoffs. Martin, you and I have the Lakers to not make it, and that crazy buzzer beater without Luka. Come on back, Luka. What is it with this?
You just reminded me. Now, you know, it's a little behind the curtain. We record Lemon Pepper on Wednesdays. Last Wednesday, Mark Gunnels very confidently poked his chest out and said, hey, didn't we have a cap of consequences bet? Me and Dave versus you and Sal, because Dave and Mark both said the Lakers weren't making the playoffs. I said it backwards.
We're making it.
Thank you. There you go. Me and you both said Lakers weren't making the playoffs. Mark and Dave both believe they will. I think that, we just got to set.
Well, we got to figure it out. Shaq, are you still in on that? You should be. I mean, you haven't really lost ground on there. I'm looking for odds, but I still don't think they make it. I don't know. I hate this, though. They say AD is going to play every game, even the back-to-backs.
I think it's interesting the calls that AD isn't playing as the main man, and therefore they're going to have to move on from him in this offseason. So, I mean, you know, I guess at this age for LeBron, what does that mean then for LeBron going forward? If you get rid of AD from the Lakers, that's what fascinates me, is what awaits the offseason with the Lakers.
Is you answering Sal's question? Are you in or are you out? Yes,
now's the time.
I'll stand by.
I'm looking on Caesars. Now is exactly the time to do it to make the playoffs. Yes, minus 110. No, minus 110. Ooh. Let's do it.
All right,
let's figure it out, Martin.
All right,
we're gonna be We're gonna be like the Road Warriors, a fierce tag team.
Let's do it
against the Lakers. All right, so those are our picks. As Sheck brought up, that U.S. versus Japan. U.S. was minus 145. They were minus 135. There's money coming in on Caesars on the Americans minus 145. This is every 4 years. Which got me thinking, I'm going to ask you guys, what is the best sporting event that occurs every 4 years? Shaq, take it away.
Bobsled.
No.
I love it. I love it. I love that it reveals more than anything else. It's my thing that's driving me crazy of late is the 21st century requirement that everybody be an expert on everything. And it really is highlighted by the Winter Games. Figure skating, bobsled, whatever it is, people watch for 4 minutes and immediately know everything. Like that guy, his head's around. The third guy in the bobsled, his head's bobbing around too much. That's going to cut off a couple hundredths of a second. They're not going to get it done. The downhill, everybody knows what you should be doing, where you should be going through the post. The figure skating, all we sit around and watch is for somebody to fall down. You know, also, leap year. I feel like it's weird that we don't celebrate leap year enough. Shouldn't there be something special that happens in leap year every year? It only happens the 29th. Imagine being born on February 29th. Shouldn't there be more fanfare around that? That would be a great event. Maybe that's when we play the Blue Blood Classic every, We interrupt college basketball season for the blue blood.
You know, I didn't, I should have known this was going to emerge into an Andy Rooney segment here with the leap year. I asked you which sporting event.
You said bobsled. I love every event.
And then you said only because everyone's an expert. What do you actually look forward to seeing?
I sincerely love watching the bobsled. I love watching the ski jump. I love watching all those dumb sports that I never think about. Except once every fortnight, once every 4 years. I think they are all funny to sit around and watch. I love them all.
All right.
And I also, you know, the Olympic hockey is fun to answer it sincerely. But yes, I think all the winter games are hysterical because they have no relevance in any of our lives except for that 2 weeks.
All right, Martin, you a winter guy, summer guy?
First of all, absolutely not a winter guy. And Dave's wrong. Mm-hmm. That's not true. Because some of these Olympic events do pervade many people's lives, especially the lives of people like you two who have kids. The best Olympic, the best every 4 year event comes in the Summer Olympics, and it's swimming. Because it's the perfect look. You go watch swimming, and you get locked in. And Michael Phelps or Ryan Phillips or whoever your guy is, and you're locked in for that period in time. Then 2 weeks later. You don't have to watch any high-level swimming. And if you got a kid on the swim team, which is, as I said, maybe one of your kids, maybe you're at the pool all the time, you won't understand what I'm talking about. So then I apologize to you. You're bad for having kids. However, what I would say is swimming on the high scale, watching the best swimmers in the world, every 4 years, it's the perfect taste. If they did it every 2 years, it'd be too much. Every year, I wouldn't care at all. But every four... it's just enough so you have a little bit of brand recognition from the 4 years prior. And if you catch them right at 16, you might have somebody for three Olympics. Boom. Swimming. Yeah. That's the answer. Dave, that's how you answer with one response.
yours took at least as long as mine did to basically reiterate what I just said. Terrific stuff. I think the
wait a minute. But the swimming.
I think the 100 meters is swimming. Fun to see who's the fastest. Yeah. But those singular events that, like I say, you wouldn't know or have any interest in. But then you
too many.
In.
I don't like that Michael Phelps could hold the record for gold medals because he's in 14 events. Right? It just doesn't seem fair. It's like. I don't know. I love Corolla, but he does 63 podcasts. Which one am I supposed to listen to? Right? Which one do you really focus
Who's
on?
Who's Corolla?
Out of those? I don't know. I'm going to give you my answer.
Please
it's controversial.
Do.
It's this WBC Classic, this baseball. And I like it as much as someone who roots for a team who lost their $100 million reliever for the year celebrating on the pitcher's mound can. It has a lot. It's got all the energy of the Ryder Cup. You see the excitement out of players whose faces don't normally show excitement. Shohei Ohtani. It's pretty great. If you watch it, it's very cool. It's meaningful outs in March, and somehow it's coming together. And we should root for the U.S. team way more than we are because they're into it.
I agree
with
you.
We should be into it too, Shaq.
You are.
It's very cool.
You are. Happy to express cynicism. Over and over again. I am with you 100%. Just because something is new, you don't need to jump in there to announce this is a waste of time. I think it's cool that these guys clearly have pride in playing for their respective nations. And, you know, these newfangled things, the ones that resonate, if you kind of think about it, like Billie Jean King versus Bobby Riggs, I know that's a sideshow versus what's going on here, but when you do these unique events like this that will resonate and stand out from everything else. Canada Cup, for anybody who likes hockey, is some of the most special hockey I've ever seen. 1987, you had the greatest collection of hockey talent in the history of people out there, and it still resonates in my brain. I love these distinct events like that, these tournaments like this, and this has been a delight to watch. And you know me,
give it a watch if you haven't. It's great.
And I lost
my closer. I lost my closer for this, and I still think this is great.
That is a powerful statement for real from the Metropolitan's number one fan, Sal, to say like I'm still good with it, even though it's gonna ding my team.
Pull McNeil, pull Alonzo from this USA team. Enough. We can't take it. But I got, you know, of course, I bet on it. And it's been exciting, Martin. Take a look. By the way, the styles, I know you like the matching of styles, like the Japanese, they're mm-hmm. so disciplined. And wait till you see this guy lay down a bunt, because they practice every angle of laying down a bunt. He was bunting with two strikes in a, you know, the Japan was losing by a run. They only had like five outs to spare. He's bunting with two strikes and laid down a perfect bunt. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, you would just never see that in America.
Can't believe I heard the resident, you know, lead host of the old Manning cast say, I love all things that come in that are new, that are fun. I'm shocked.
You said that.
I don't know where I've been the last, you know, year and change.
I would do an impression of Martin if he would say something interesting. But anyway, I think you nail it once again, that the stylistic differences have emerged there. The Latino teams have a certain joy that they play with, a euphoria. I mean, it's all just great times, and it stands out because it's one game, which feels very different.
Right.
I mean, it feels like a one game playoff basically, because that's what you're looking at, kind of like what you get in early October versus right. the seven game series. Yeah, it's super duper fun.
Babyface, what did we miss any events? I mean, World Cup, I bet more on the World Cup than anything in soccer. So in a way, that would be my answer. But I really did like this WBC.
Yeah, Toby would be upset you left out the World Cup, of course.
That's fine.
I don't know. I personally think LeBron James, every 4 years, he picks a new team, holds the GM hostage to change the roster. I look forward to it every 4 years.
He's not even the worst with that. He's like the sixth worst now when it comes to that. But all right, listen, Lemon Pepper Parlay. It's Martin. It's Mark Gunnels. You're going to talk NBA. You're going to talk NCAA tournament. Lots of fun. That's coming up Wednesday, right?
Yes, sir. We'll talk about how he just led everybody astray with his national achievement. So confident. Just calling Kansas the city of champions.
Stupid,
you know,
Kansas team.
The Chiefs and the Jayhawks, and he just... So I'll have to knock him back down the side.
All right, and we have that Cap of Consequences tag team. It's me and Martin against Sheck and Mark Gunnels. Martin and I say the Lakers will not make the 18 playoff eventually, and Sheck and Gunnels say they will. Sheck, but you and Jeff Schwartz discuss many things. College, a good discussion on offensive linemen. On -3.
Yes. Again, like I say about expertise, you don't have to know who the best tackle is. You don't know is the answer. Listen to guys like Jeff Schwartz, one of the few human beings who does know what he's talking about. And then we'll have Kevin Hench later in the week for you.
There you go. There's Megan Fun of Sports. There's Against All Odds. There's, I said, Lemon Pepper Parlay, -3. Covered in Glory gets all your EPL soccer needs done. And check it all out. We got Laugh Lines coming up as well. A lot of that is on the Money Grab feed. And I want to remind everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.